Pastor Tim is out today. Obviously, I'm not him. My name's Kerry Phillips. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Eagles Landing. And he's on a trip. He left this morning about 6 o'clock and with Micah. But he'll be back next Sunday. Now, I wanted to share a little bit with you this morning. And actually, it's kind of a crazy week to preach. I have a 2-year-old little boy named Eli and a 4-year-old little boy, a little girl named Abby. And I was tempted to bring some pictures of our Christmas week, but I didn't want to show off my kids, you know, in front of everybody. I thought that would be a little bit selfish. But I've really been putting together toys more than anything this past week. But I was also looking forward to coming and sharing with you guys. And Christmas for us actually started a little different this year. Usually I am the guy that my wife Lisa is saying, hey, we need to get the tree down. We buy a real tree. But we need to get all the ornaments out of the attic. And we need to get all the decorations. We need to get all this stuff, you know, together. And she's kind of, you know, pushing and pushing and pushing. And I'm always like, can't we do that tomorrow? Can't we do that next week? Can't we do that? You know, Christmas is a long way away. But this year, I was one of those people, and maybe some of you are like this, I was one of those people that the week of Thanksgiving, not the week after Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving, I said, man, let's just go ahead and set up the tree now. Let's just go ahead and enjoy it through Thanksgiving all the way to Christmas. Let's go ahead and get it all set up. And she was a little surprised because, again, I'm telling you, usually I'm the one complaining about it. And then she finally talks me into doing it. And I gripe and complain like halfway through the whole deal. And then we finally get some of the decorations set up. And I just barely begin to start getting into the mood of Christmas. But this year was completely different. I was ready to roll. I was ready to get everything out, get everything decorated. And she kind of put me off to Thanksgiving, and we went through Thanksgiving, had everybody over to our house. And then the next day, we went and got our tree, got it back to the house, and started putting everything together. Now, I will tell you, as eager as I was to get everything put up, she actually did most of the decorating. I just wanted it to be done, okay? So she did most of the work. I mean, my responsibility is to get the tree in, to get it, like, all leveled up and good to go and get the lights on it. And then, like, I turn it over, and it's her job from there. And every once in a while, I'll help with something that she might need help with. But she did most of the work. But it was a little different. And then we actually started a little tradition where we have a smaller tree that we put in our little girl's room and a small tree that we put in our little boy's room. And this year, we had to buy a new tree for Eli's room, just a little baby one. And so I decided that we were gonna buy a white tree for Abby and give Eli Abby's green tree, because we got some really cool pink lights, and we set Abby up a princess tree. So it's a white tree, so it's one of the flock's snow white trees with pink lights on it. She's got all these Disney princess ornaments on it and all kinds of good stuff on there. And Eli has a car tree. We took all of his Matchbox cars, and they became ornaments, and we took his little tree. So Abby's got the princess tree, and Eli's got the car tree, the Matchbox car tree, and we've got like a crazy tree. You know, actually what we use on our tree for lights, and people think this is crazy when they come in, they're like, man, well, I've never seen lights like that. And it's like, well, they're not really lights for inside, they're lights for outside. The big, like, huge, honking, just gigantic lights for outside, that's what we put on our Christmas tree. We just think it's fun. We just like it. We're just weird people. So that's what we put on our Christmas tree for decorations. And, you know, this year I started buying presents early and just was excited about it, and out decorating for Christmas and buying presents. And, you know, we're one of those crazy families that actually, and again, this is one of those things that I really have to give my wife credit for, because I just enjoy all the benefits from it. But our kids are 2 and 4, so we're still in that stage to where presents are still fairly inexpensive, and we can fill up our entire living room with $30 worth of presents from Toys R Us on Black Friday's midnight shopping. So Lisa went out this year, and we got this huge princess castle for Abby that was regularly $200. That was like 70-something percent off, and she got it for $30, which was pretty awesome. And we got Eli a little train table, and man, we filled up our entire living room with presents. And we realize as our kids get older, that's going to change. Those presents get a little bit more expensive, but we can fill up our entire living room. Now what we're trying to figure out is, okay, now that we've filled the entire living room up for Christmas morning, what are we going to do with that stuff the rest of the year? Like, that's got to go somewhere. Like, we've got to find a space for that to exist, for that to live in our home, and that's been difficult. So really, it's just been an incredible Christmas season for us. And then this past week, man, we've had some phenomenal things happen, not only in our family, but also with our church. Man, it's been an exciting week. Last Sunday, we had the Wonder of Christmas. Man, this place was packed out. Hopefully, you found a seat, because I know a lot of us did not. I was sitting over there on the stairs most of the Christmas concert. Man, it was just incredible. And as the week progressed, we were able to help. We saw our Christmas lights helping other families and helping people at Christmas time. We saw that really, and it's funny because we're talking about Christmas lights, but we saw that unravel, not in a bad way, but in a very good way. We saw those lights kind of unravel and get used, and we were able to help over 150 families. That was just amazing to be a part of and to see those families that were helped. We were also able to stock the food pantry with just an incredible amount of canned goods, and we even helped some ministries in the Middle East and sent over 1,200 boxes to children all around the world through Operation Christmas Child. And we were really able to see that Christmas lights unravel, and the Christmas Eve celebration came in, and we were able to come here and celebrate. And man, this that candle lighting at the end of it was just amazing. And then we went home from Christmas Eve, got home, got those boxes out with all those toys that we had bought, and actually a friend of mine from here came home with me after the Christmas Eve service, and we had a good time of eating. And then we stayed up till 3 o'clock putting together Christmas toys, okay? So Christmas morning finally arrived, and it got here really early for me, because as I was getting in bed about 3:30, okay, the kids were ready to get up, you know, by 5, but of course we wouldn't let them get up at 5. But Abby gets up at 8 o'clock, and Lisa's telling me, okay, it's time to get up. It's 8 o'clock. They're ready. They're excited. And I'm like, you know what? Eli's still sleeping. You know, I'm using Eli as an excuse to sleep in. And I'm saying, you know, Eli's still sleeping. It'd probably be best if, you know, we don't want him to be grumpy today. We want to make sure he gets plenty of sleep. What I was really saying is, I'm not ready to get up yet. Okay. But that wasn't working very long. So I finally get up. Christmas morning begins. And the trail of terror of wrapping paper and candy and just everything from stockings to, man, just all this stuff was just shredded, okay? And we did a pretty good job of keeping it. You know, you have to kind of clean up as you go. If you don't, your entire house will be just filled, I think, with wrapping paper, okay? And Christmas came, and we spent the day, man, we had just an incredible time. We had an incredible time spending time with family. We had an incredible time watching our kids play. We had an incredible time opening toys. And whoever invents the packaging for toys, I mean, I'd like to sit down and talk to that person, okay? Why in the world do we need 500 wires to hold, like, one little thing in the box? I don't understand it, okay? But you spend more time on Christmas unwrapping that stuff than anything else. Man, it was just incredible. And then all of a sudden, Christmas comes, and it goes. And I'm putting Abby to bed on Christmas night, and Lisa and I are putting her in bed, and we're praying together. And she asked me, she says, Daddy, is tomorrow just a regular day? And I said, yep, tomorrow is just a regular day, but you'll have all your toys to play with. And we prayed together, and we put her to bed. I was thinking about that question, is tomorrow just a regular day? And I think I've got a slide. I don't know if it's going to come up or not, but the interesting thing is we are 2 days away, really just 1 day away from being as far away from Christmas, as far as into the future, as we can possibly be. Yesterday, we were 364 days away from Christmas time. Today, we're 363 days away from Christmas time. And tomorrow is just a regular day. And I don't know what your Christmas was like this year. I don't know. Honestly, this was probably one of the best Christmases I've had. Probably part of it is because the age of my kids just really is just a fun time to be a parent at Christmas when you have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And it really doesn't matter if you spend a whole lot of money or if you spend just a little bit of money. They're just excited. Man, they're just excited with the wrapping paper. They're just excited with the boxes. They're just excited with any of the toys that you got them. You don't have to spend a lot of money. And we had an incredible time in our family on Christmas. And I don't know what Christmas was like for you, but I can tell you this. As we look forward to Christmas, and you got to think, we're already starting the countdown. Only 363 days left for Christmas. And that countdown is just going to click away and click away and click away and click away. And as we look forward to Christmas, if Christmas for us is simply about what happens on Christmas Day, man, I think it's a letdown for all of us. If we spend 363 days, 364 days, 365 days looking forward to Christmas coming, and sometimes when it comes, maybe it didn't live up to everything that you would hope for. Maybe it wasn't everything you expected. Maybe this year just has not been a good year for you. Maybe it's been a bad year financially. Maybe it's been a bad year emotionally. Maybe it's been a bad year in your family. Maybe there was sickness or just turmoil that was happening in your life and in your family. But Christmas isn't about what happens on December 25th. Christmas isn't about what happens in December. Christmas isn't about Christmas trees and candy canes and all that. And my message for you this morning really is very simple. And that's simply this. Christmas is coming. You say, man, that's not very profound at all. No, it's not. It's not very complex at all. You mean you're going to spend the next 20 minutes talking about Christmas is coming? Yep. We are. If you got a bulletin, you may have noticed it's been the same all month of December, really since Thanksgiving. But on the front of the bulletin, I chose to put a passage there, and it's really a passage that is not typically the favorite Christmas gospel. It's from the book of John. On the front it says, John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And I wanted to share with you this morning really my favorite Christmas gospel, my favorite Christmas story. On Christmas Eve, Marshall came up and he read the Christmas story out of the book of Luke, which is typically the Christmas story that's read. Maybe you read that on Christmas Eve with your family. Maybe you read that on Christmas Day with your family. Maybe you've talked about that over the past week. But I want to share with you the Christmas story that's found in John chapter 1. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 1. Some people may not even consider John chapter 1 the Christmas story. But man, it's so rich. And it is a story about how Jesus Christ left heaven and came to earth. And that's what Christmas is all about. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." It's easy to see why this might not be the preferred gospel, the preferred story, even as choppy as it is. But listen to the message of it. "The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This is He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. And from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known.'" Here's the message this morning. It used to be a song that I remember growing up, and a lot of people don't remember this song. I talked with our college students about it a few years back, and out of like probably about 60 or 70 people in the room, I asked how many people had heard of it, and like only like two people had even heard it before. And I got the Muppets version, but I'd always grown up hearing a different version. It just simply said this. It said, "Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat, please put a penny in the old man's hat." Does anybody else know that song besides me? Okay, I'm glad in a little bit larger audience that some more people know it. How many people you have no idea what I'm talking about? I mean, does that not just, those of you that know the song, does that not just amaze you? Because I'm telling you, it's like, how have you not? I mean, I remember that from like being a child all the way through. I don't know where I heard it. I can't tell you like if it was in the mall, if it was on the car. I have no idea. I just know I heard the song. And the only version I could actually even find of it a few years back when I was looking for it was the Muppets version. And it's Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. Please put a penny in the old man's hat. And I can tell you this. I can remember as a child how excited I would get as I looked forward to Christmas coming. And I can tell you this, I know exactly how excited my kids get as it gets closer and closer and closer to Christmas time. And the trees come out, and the lights go up, the presents go under the tree, and they're just counting down the days to when Christmas is going to be here. And I know a lot of that excitement for kids, I know a lot of that excitement for my kids, and a lot of excitement when I was a child was about the presents that we would get on Christmas Day. Maybe sometimes it's about the food that we'll get to eat. Maybe it's sometimes about seeing relatives and family members that come into town from far off that we don't normally get to see throughout the year, but they're going to come in town for Christmas. Maybe not even every Christmas. Maybe just some special Christmas. They're coming into town. But man, the excitement of Christmas is coming. But the story of Christmas, what Christmas means, Christmas does not mean presents under a tree. Christmas does not mean Christmas trees. Christmas does not mean candy canes and lights. The story of Christmas is Jesus is coming to bring light to the dark places in the world. And let me tell you something. The news today is Christmas is not 363 days away. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus did not come to bring light to the dark places on December 25th. And Jesus did not come to bring light to the dark places during the month of December. You see, we may celebrate Christmas in December, and we may specifically celebrate Christmas on December 25th, but when Jesus Christ was born into the world, light came into this world, and it was not time sensitive. But the message of hope this morning and the message of Christmas this morning is that Christmas is here, and it's here to stay. And it's here to stay for my life, and it's here to stay for your life. Christmas is coming, and Christmas is here. And Jesus has come to bring light to the world, but more specifically, and this is the message for this morning, Christmas has come to bring light to the dark places in your world and in your heart. And you say, you know what, I get that, I understand that. No, we don't get that, and no, we don't understand that. I wanted a little clip from John Piper. This is something I read off of his website. It says, our needs here, and I changed the date, our needs here at the end of 2009 are not primarily financial, but primarily spiritual. We need to be the kind of people that radiate the beauty and truth and the value of Christ. We need to be like light shining in a dark place, which means we need to behold Jesus and we need to gaze at Christ. The coming of the Son of God into the world is so much more than a historical fact. It was a message of hope sent by God to teenagers and single parents and crabby husbands and sullen wives and overweight women and impotent men and stupid neighbors and homosexuals and preachers and lovers and you. And since the Son of God lived, died, rose, and reigns and is coming again, God's message through him is more than a historical fact. It is a Christmas gift to you this morning from the voice of the living God. Thus says the Lord, the meaning of Christmas is that what is good and precious in your life need never be lost, and what is evil and undesirable in your life can be changed. The fears that a few good things that make your life happy are slipping through your fingers, and the frustrations that the bad things you hate about yourself and your situation can't be changed. These fears and these frustrations are what Christmas came to destroy. And it is God's message of hope this morning that what is good need never be lost and what is bad can be changed. My aim is that you see Jesus for who he is and be moved to receive him as your Lord and Savior and your all-surpassing treasure. And if you've already received him, I pray that you will embrace him and treasure him and delight in him and follow him and display him more than you ever have. The message of Christmas this morning is verse 12 in John chapter 1. It says, but to all did receive him who believed in his name, he gave right to become the children of God. You know, I have no illusions that Christmas was wonderful for everybody this morning. The fact is, I know that there's people even in this room, and there's definitely people outside of this room that live just a few blocks away, just a few miles away, within Atlanta, Georgia, and within the state of Georgia, and within the United States of America, and then certainly across the world, where Christmas wasn't all it was cracked up to be. Christmas wasn't all it was supposed to be. There was people who were still hungry at the end of Christmas Day. We met some of them as we were helping the 150 families. And we walked into hotel rooms where their entire families living together in a hotel room with children who didn't have shoes to wear. They were wearing old, dirty clothes. We had stories about families that we were able to help. He said, you know, we didn't have anything to eat and we really didn't know where the next meal was coming from until we received this gift. We heard from families and single moms who are living in garages because they have nowhere to stay and they have nowhere for their kids to stay. And the truth of the matter is, Christmas may have been wonderful in your home like it was in mine. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm thankful for that. But that's not the case everywhere. And the good news of Christmas is not about having presents under your tree. But the good news of Christmas is that Jesus Christ came to destroy all the darkness and what's bad in this world and bring hope and life and light and goodness and grace and mercy and forgiveness and to make us righteous in God's sight. Man, that's amazing. And the good news of Christmas is it's not about December 25th, but it's about what Jesus Christ wants to do in your life this morning and tomorrow morning and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. And if we would shift our eyes and stop looking about everything that's here and we would start looking at who Christ is and what He came here for, then we'll become more like Him. Look at this verse. This amazing verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Verse 12, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. My question is this. The message of Christmas this morning is Christmas is coming and God desires to bring Christmas to your life every single day. And I can tell you this, I'm not foolish enough to think that Christmas is only coming to those who don't know Jesus Christ. And although it certainly is that Jesus Christ came so that we could know Him and be redeemed and become children of God. But you know what? Man, my life's full of dark places too. My heart's full of dark places too, some of those things. Maybe this is sin that I've gotten myself into. Some of those things are hurts and things that have happened to me. And you're in the very same place. We carry those things around with us every day. And Jesus Christ came to bring light to those dark places. And the question is, are we going to receive them? Are we going to receive Christmas? Or are we going to keep saying that, no, Christmas isn't here. We still have to wait for the light. And some of us have been waiting for a very, very, very long time for the real meaning of Christmas. And there's been a lot of Christmases come and go, and we've still rejected the light that Christ came to bring. For as many as received Him, for as many as believed, He gave them the right to become children of God. And Jesus Christ came to bring light to the dark places of my world and your world. Will we receive it? John chapter 3, the famous passage of 3:16. A lot of times we get caught right there in 3:16 and we don't look beyond that. Starting in verse 19, it says this. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out from God. Sir, ma'am, student, child, me, will I receive the light that Christ has for me today? Will you receive what Christ has for you today? Will you receive the light that Christ has for the dark places? See, sometimes that's because we don't believe that Christ is really offering it to us. And other times it's because we don't want it. So Christ is handing us that gift, that present. And we've taken that gift, that present from Christ, and we went and put it on a shelf, and we've still never opened it. And I can tell you this. Every single gift that we bought for our kids this year for Christmas was opened. Every single one of them. We didn't offer any of those gifts to Abby and say, Abby, this present's for you. It's got your name on it. There's not one of them that she said, I don't really want that one. I don't know what's in there, but I don't really want it. I don't want to open that gift. We didn't hand any of them to Eli and say, Eli, this is your present. This is your gift. I don't want that, Dad. I don't want that gift, Daddy. Now, he got caught up in playing with another gift, and we had to convince him to open it sometimes. But here's the key. Jesus Christ came to bring light to the dark places of my life and your life. But we'd rather have the darkness sometimes. We'd rather live with the darkness that's in our hearts. We'd rather live with the darkness that's in our world, that's in our life, that's in our circumstances. And instead of believing what God says is true, we believe what we feel is true, and we reject the gift that Christ is trying to give us, and we walk in that darkness. And sometimes we do that because we prefer the darkness. That's what we want. That's what we like. The message this morning is, turn to Christ, receive the gift of light, and recognize that every single day, Christmas is coming. It's not 363 days away. It's not next December 25th. It's today. And if you're here and Christmas has come and it's gone, it's not too late to receive Christ. Maybe that's for the very first time. You've never received Him before. You've not received His forgiveness. You've not received His death on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. Or maybe you are His child and you just not received the new life that He wants to give you. The freedom that He wants to give you. The forgiveness that He wants to give you. The guilt trip is over. New life has begun. And we can become more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I just want to end with one last thing. And as Christmas is here, so that we can give it away. All year we've had a verse, and Pastor Tim actually encouraged all of us as a church to memorize this. And I do have it memorized, but I am going to read it just because I don't want to mess up on it in front of everybody. You know how that goes. And it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. And again, the reason why I want to end with this is because, one, it's so fitting for what we're talking about. But second, it's because this is really what our church, this is our church verse, and it's been our church verse all year. And the question is, do we have it? Do we understand it? Have we memorized it? Have we put it in our hearts? And this is what it says. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You know one of the most interesting things about that? If we go back and read in John where we started, this is what it says. John chapter 1, it says, in verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And it continues to talk about the light even further down. And this is what it says in John, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It would be understandable if that passage said Jesus is the light of the world, but it doesn't say that, does it? Did you catch that? It doesn't say Jesus is the light of the world. It says you are the light of the world. And the amazing thing is Christ comes to shine in and through our life, not only so that we may have life, not only so that we may have light, but so that we can take that light and shine it onto other people. and so that we can become the light of Jesus Christ for other people. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You know, I don't know that we need to go around telling everybody that Christmas is here, because they'll probably look at us thinking we're nuts. No, Christmas is not here. It's a year away. My point's not that you don't need to take down your decorations and take the tree. You know, your tree's probably, if it's live, it's probably dead now, okay? Mine certainly is. We need to take the Christmas decorations down, and we need to pack them back in the box and take them back up to the attic. But we need to keep Christmas alive in our hearts and minds, understanding that Christmas is not over. That Christmas is coming every time we allow Christ to bring fresh light into the dark places in our world, and every time we allow Christ to use us as light to other people. That's the message of Christmas. Christmas is Jesus came to bring light, and that light did not disappear on December 26th. It still shines brightly, and God will use you to shine brightly in other people's lives. Let's take that with us and share Christ with us everywhere we go.
Thanks for listening. For more information on Eagles Landing First Baptist Church, visit our website at www.eagleslanding.org or call our church office at 770-957-1355. Live for Jesus.